the EFL. It's the Football League podcast. Relieve the windows closed and therefore speculation about its future can be put to bed. Coming up, managerial mic checks, the unstoppable Queen's Park Rangers and three up, three down. Powered by Quinbet. This is What the EFL. And we're very pleased to be back with you again for another week, listener, albeit it's a bit of a somber mood for the pod this week. Wanted to start the show by paying tribute to our friend and former colleague, Joe Crilly. We were heartbroken to hear the news this week that he has passed away. He was a huge part of the Totally Football League show back in the day. If you listened, you'll remember his love for Bolton Wanderers. He was such a friendly guy. He had an infectious laugh and smile. We had many good times with him on and off the mic, and we will miss him dearly. His family have set up a Just Giving page to raise money for the Motor Neurone Disease Association, which was a cause close to Joe's heart. If you'd like to donate, there's a link in the show description, or you can just go to justgiving.com and search Joe Crilly. Crilly is C-R-I-L-L-Y. We miss you, mate. All right, we're going to talk three up, three down, leads marching clear, mic managers and previews soon. But first, let me remind you that our partners Quinbet have a new offer for you. You can now get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35 minimum three bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account is up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for more information on responsible gambling. Right, there has been some midweek action. I've got Adrian and Sam with me, of course, to talk through it all. Adrian, on Wednesday night, Leeds went 5 points clear at the top of the table after a 2-0 win at Coventry. Impressive. Tell me what you make of this stat from LUFC data. Leeds currently have their best goal difference ever after 31 league games of a single season, plus 43. They've conceded just 19 in the first 31 league matches of a season, which is also a club record lowest tally. So maybe Daniel Farke was right all along.
No, they are really impressive, and they're kind of getting stronger, which is a great sign for them. I thought at the start of this season they were weaker than they were last season, and that I think was accurate, but what they've done is they've found a new team, a new way of working, and in what I believe is a slightly weaker championship, they are looking the real deal. I think in the here and now, they are the best team in the league. They swatted Coventry aside, and Cov have been in good form, haven't they? You know, good goal from Piru to start with. Solomon sticks him away. And then there's an awful, awful piece of defending and goalkeeping from Coventry. They just let Bogle run about 50 yards down the pitch. The goalkeeper spills it and he taps it in. But they had other chances as well. Should have had a penalty, Leeds United. It was a really impressive performance. And Frank Lampard was honest afterwards. Just said, look, beaten by the better team. There's a gap between us. You know, we're getting better. But in the here and now, Leeds are a level above. And they showed it in the game. And that goal difference is remarkable. And what I will say about Farke is that he's kind of... he's found his team. And it doesn't matter that Willy Nonto and Ramazzani aren't in it. That, you know, they're on the bench now until further notice, unless the starters don't do the bid. So he's been pretty, you know, strong, made some strong decisions, and Leeds look good.
Yeah, scored nearly twice as many goals as second place Burnley. Incredible. So they're looking good for top two. Sam, what about QPR and this playoff charge, which is back on now? You were at Loftus Road to witness live the 2-1 win against Blackburn. Love that Jack Colback thumping volley. How's the mood in that corner of West London at the moment?
Terrific, I would say. I don't always enjoy, you know, just going to a game as a punter. Don't maybe take it in as much as I should. Maybe it's just a bit of a rarity these days, but I really did. I really took it in and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was two excellent teams. I think Blackburn are a really good side. I think they're probably let down by not having a real clinical edge to their game. They're clearly a good outfit. They played some good stuff. Paul Nardi produced an outstanding save in the first half when QPR had a couple of spells where they were on the ropes. But QPR are a really good watch these days. Couple of individuals I'd pick out, certainly Ronnie Edwards, who we know all about from his time at Peterborough, on loan from Southampton, outstanding defensively, but also with the ball. So he's added them a little bit of a culture in that regard. I mean, Michael Frey, if I can point you towards anything on social media this week, have a look at the ball he took down from a goalkeeper's kick, killed it instantly, a couple of kick-ups with someone tight to him. He's just in incredible form. And I thought tactically really good. Cifuentes, slightly different look to the midfield. Field, the deeper one on this occasion. Morgan's a lovely footballer. I don't know if you two guys have seen him. He's there's a good thing on the View from the Lane podcast. Sorry, Clarky, that's blasphemy, but there's a couple of minutes.
I won't be listening to that.
Sorry, Matt. Yeah. There's a couple of minutes about Morgan and the being released from Spurs, them helping him find the new club. Obviously, he was released after his scholarship and finding his way at QPR. He's a lovely footballer. Really good range of passing. He blows up a little bit after about 65, 70 minutes, but it's his first year professionally. And the other one of that trio is obviously Elias Chair, who, you know, when he's on it, as he was on Tuesday, he missed a few chances, but he's a beautiful watch, glorious footballer. So you got that kind of number six, number eight in Morgan and the number 10 in Chair, all in their preferred positions, I would suggest, the other night. So it felt like a big win coming out of there, and it was even more so when I looked at the table, and there's obviously 5 points between 5th and 14th now in the Championship, and two very, very gettable playoff positions. And I would suggest, you know, in that kind of 10 teams, there's not many more playing better than QPR right now. So there's a chance, outside chance.
We'll see if they can sustain it. Also on Tuesday, Burnley beat Oxford by 1-0. First league defeat for Oxford under Gary Rowett. Clarkey, Burnley had a wild 7 shots on target in this game.
Yeah, at least there was a goal. It was an own goal, so Burnley didn't actually score it. Yeah, it came off Hellick, didn't it, at the near post. Good play down the left-hand side. I have to say, Burnley were really good down the left. Bashir Humphreys is playing ever so well. You guys will know him from Chelsea, of course. He's working nicely with Lyle Foster, who... he's kind of not playing as a striker anymore. He's playing on the left-hand side and he's doing a really good job there. I quite like him in that position. Yeah, they played well in this game, especially in the first half. Lots of big chances. They were a bit wasteful. Oxford weren't bad. They kind of stuck at it, stuck in there, but they didn't offer a great deal of threat. And you know what Burnley are like? As soon as you get in that opposition half, as soon as you get within about 40 yards from goal, Burnley just funnel back and they just crowd you out. It's, you know, they really do work hard. You shouldn't ignore, you know, they're getting a lot of flack for being boring and yeah, they should score more goals. Of course they should. But their defending as a team is very admirable. They all work for the badge and for the manager.
A couple of games in League Two as well midweek. Newport beat Morecambe by 2-1. We'll talk about Morecambe later. But Clarkey, you wanted to talk about Salford coming from 3-0 down at home to Bromley to draw. We spoke, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, about Salford being stuck in a bit of a funk after that thrashing at the Etihad. Maybe this is the thing that can get them back on the horse.
Well, they kind of need to get back on this. They haven't won since they got battered by Man City. And prior to that, they'd been winning all the time. So yes, it was a really important comeback, you know, dead and buried really. 3-0 and Bromley, you know, Bromley a pretty solid team. So that is impressive. Good spirit from them that they didn't give up. The point I wanted to make was that, and I know these midweekers, and I've been at a few midweek games this season, where the crowds have been a bit skinny. Only 2,112 there to see it. You know, that is an issue, isn't it, for Salford City moving forward. They're going to need to attract more people, I think, for the club to sort of develop and grow.
Yeah, just a word on Michael Cheek, who I just noticed was on the score sheet again. Yeah. Second top goal scorer in the division, and with Nathan Lowe back at Stoke now, he's got a great opportunity of getting himself in the EFL. I think I'm right in saying he's kind of in the twilight of his career. I trained with him many moons ago, and I don't think he was a whippersnapper then. So he's certainly late 20s or maybe into his 30s, 14 goals not to be sniffed at. And he's been joined by Harry McCurdy, I noticed yesterday, who's attracted, yeah, I'm sure, a lot of conversation on this podcast in the past. 2.5 years he's done at Hibs, no goals. Obviously, he had, I think it was a heart problem where required surgery. So he's obviously not been available for a large portion of that. But yeah, he more than capable at League Two level, and be interested to see how he gets on alongside Cheeky.
Cheeky, yeah. I remember you called Cheeky in this sort of golden boot prediction. I called Alessandro Jatta at Notts County. He's right up there. So, yeah, quite excited to see who ends up at top of the pile.
Just on Bromley, after that defeat, they confirmed the departure of men's first team assistant manager, Alan Dunn, by mutual consent. Whether that was as a result of the midweek collapse, I'm not sure, but there you go. The transfer window is now closed. Adrian, anything that particularly caught your eye?
A few things, yeah. Let's have a look. I mean, there's a few interesting signings. Obviously, Marcus Edwards going to Burnley was big, wasn't it? He didn't come off the bench the other day, but he's going to play a lot. Kelechi Iheanacho rocking up at the Riverside. That's a really
feels
interesting...
Feels right, that, doesn't it?
It absolutely feels right. Jadon Dans, who, whenever he comes into the Liverpool first team in the cup competition, seems to score. He has gone to Sunderland on loan, so I think that's a really good pickup from them. I mean, I think something about him, he's a real natural sort of finisher. He could be a difference maker in the sort of weeks and months to come. And I guess West Brom losing their goalie Palmer is a blow, but then they sort of made amends with Adam Armstrong coming in. So yeah, a little bit of activity. Bristol City and Sheffield Wednesday, no one in, and that must really rankle with the fans of both clubs. Both teams 2 points off the playoffs. Absolutely, Sam's been talking about QPR pushing for the playoffs. These two clubs can get into the top six this season, but they decided not to do anything, and I think that shows a lack of ambition. And I would imagine both fan bases feeling pretty fed up about that.
Yeah, we mentioned Bristol City last week, didn't we, and how they could invest. How about you, Sam? Anything that leapt off the page to you, or the deal sheet?
Well, I think Sheffield United, it's clear what their approach has been. You know, vast championship experience that they've obviously got in Harry Clark, Rob Holding, Chowdhury, Cannon a few weeks ago. You know, guys that have, you know, pretty much all been promoted from the level previously as well, or played in successful championship teams. So they've flexed their muscles, I think, to a degree. I think the Jadon Dans one is the standout, because Sunderland have gone with a two-up, which I'll speak about a little bit later in today's podcast. So I think that's really eye-catching and massively to the detriment of Hull, who I think were trying to get him as well. And that's the one glaring omission, I think, from their window, which I think is pretty eye-catching when you think of the goal threat potentially of Matt Crooks. We've already seen it. And of course, Louis Barry. And I think they've strengthened, you know, throughout the rest of the team as well in terms of positions. But the one they haven't covered probably is someone to come in and guarantee them a return of goals. A couple of other ones, I think Sissoko leaving Plymouth after showing real quality early part of the season and rocking up straight away at Sheffield Wednesday on loan's an interesting one. And also the double swoop at Blackburn, who obviously I saw in the week, Emmanuel Dennis and Corley Woodrow, for the reason I already stated. They need a little bit more goal power, and those two have been having in different times at various clubs, and an opportunity for them to get back going, playing and scoring goals.
Yeah, I missed that Sheffield Wednesday one. So yeah, I take you back. Sissoko's quite good. I had completely missed it. So yeah, thanks for pointing it out.
All I would say is Emmanuel Dennis ain't going to get you any goals. I've seen him lately. He is not in particularly good form, although he did get a few back at Watford, didn't he, last season. And I would just love to see Chris Wilder, maybe in a dead rubber, just play Rob Holding as a defensive midfielder so he can have Holding in the holding position at long last, because I've been waiting an awful long time for that to be a thing. well, maybe this will be happening before we talk about managers called Mike on the move. All 72 National League clubs have written to the EFL board demanding the introduction of 3 promotion and relegation spots between League 2 and the National League next season. Since 2003, 2 teams have gone up and down. They want to expand it to 3. So the National League clubs are bang up for this. Adrian, you're not quite so sure.
Yeah, look, I'm conflicted, because I listen to the passionate arguments from fans of non-league teams, and I totally get it, and the level's so good now. But I just feel that being part of the 92, being part of the 72 in the EFL is something to be cherished, and it's something to be really hard earned, and not lost easily. And I just feel that that two up, two down is right. And that, but this is just a personal view. You know, it's now the Southend, you know, I love Southend. They've dropped out. It's much harder for them to get back up if it's the if it's two up than three up. But even so, I just feel that only the very, very best in that division should make the jump, and only the very worst, you know, the two worst should make the journey down. I just think if it goes to three up, three down, I actually think the National League are in danger of losing it, and it becomes a League Three. You know, I don't know whether there's any aspirations at all. I don't suppose there is from the EFL to expand it, but then it really might as well be called League Three. I think if you're going to have the EFL and the National League, I think two works personally. A lot of people disagree with me on that. Yeah, it's just my own personal view.
It's odd that there's not uniformity, I think, across it. Obviously, you have 40 teams going down from League One.
But it's not the same body, is it? If it was all part of the EFL, of course it would be. But if you're completely different bodies and identities and, you know, different rules, different everything, then it's not going to be uniform, is it? I don't know. Right, I mean, what's the argument for it? I guess you explain.
No, I'll struggle to articulate it. Probably, my feeling inside me is probably that there's a bit of a lack of jeopardy towards the foot of League Two some seasons, and that teams, I think we've seen maybe with bigger resources, have been able to roll the dice in January, for example, to get themselves out of trouble, and you maybe don't get the excitement to the end of the season, because I mean, there'll be people screaming into their iPhones now that it has been copious amounts of great escapes. But I just feel that you could add a little bit more jeopardy by having the extra club going down. I'm not sure it's a strong enough argument for people saying, well, look what Wrexham have done, and look what Stockport have done, and look what Luton have done. Yeah, I mean, these are all really well-run clubs that have made the jump into the EFL, and then investment has followed and the gates have grown, and you know, there's other perfect examples of it. I don't necessarily buy into that, but absolutely, if the foot of League Two, I think it would add something, you know, and maybe that's not what is at the forefront of everyone's mind, but I just think having the two dropping out sometimes is not in keeping with the rest of the EFL, clearly.
All right. Well, we shall wait and see on that one, I suppose. A couple of managerial movements to talk about before we get on to our weekend previews. Wycombe Wanderers have appointed Mike Dodds as their new head coach, replacing Matt Bloomfield, who left for Luton ages ago. Dodds was assistant coach at Sunderland. He'd also had three spells there as interim boss. A Wycombe statement said, "Mike shares our vision of building the club through innovation and data, ensuring that we continue to evolve and stay ahead in an increasingly competitive landscape. He also strongly aligns with our commitment to the academy being an integral part of our future strategy." I'm sorry, Wycombe statement, but that sounds like management speak. I know you hate that. Sam, thoughts?
Well, he's walking into a really good job, that's for sure. You know, a club that seemed to have heavy recent investment, rolled the dice again in January, some really eye-catching names joining the club that have had real success, joining a team that's been able to keep hold of its main assets in the main. I saw my friend of the pod, Dave Wheeler, left yesterday, so definitely worth a word on him. Been an outstanding player for Wycombe, part of that promotion to the championship, where I had a lovely hug with him at full time to congratulate him. So yeah, he's been a brilliant ambassador for stuff he does off the pitch as well, but always 100% when he's on it. Yeah, so he's clearly held in high regard. It didn't work brilliantly for him, Mike Dodds, when he was handed the reins at Sunderland, but I think it seems that everyone's really sorry to see him go. I think Wilson Isidore spoke about him post-match the other day. And looking at his comments yesterday, it sounds as if he's not going to tinker with too much. Why should he? The foundation is there for them to go on and achieve another promotion. So it's a great gig for him. Intrigued to see how he goes.
Yeah, I spoke to I hosted the EFL All Access on Talksport 2 this week, and we had Joe Jacobson was on, and Yeah, I mean, it's big money being spent at Wickham. You know, it's not the same club it used to be. And a lot of people are sort of looking at them as the minnows up there with Birmingham and Wrexham and Huddersfield. But, you know, they're spending good money. You know, I don't think they're as far off as you might imagine in terms of their ambition compared to those bigger teams. Yeah, he described it as a slightly left field appointment because no one was expecting it. And, you know, it came from nowhere. I get that. Let's just see. We don't know. We don't know how good he's going to be. Do we? But yeah, I agree with Sam. It's a great gig because the team is flying.
You look at the 11 they can put out now and the subs as well, the depth there. And there's good recruitment, and then there's good recruitment with financial backing, I suppose. And I think early part of the season, I was just thinking, God, they've done well to get him. But obviously, they're flexing their muscles in a financial aspect as well. So they've given themselves a hell of an opportunity, especially keeping hold of the centre forward.
Reduce the risk, not very happy about losing him either, which is an endorsement, I suppose, for Dodds. Meanwhile, in less happy Mike news, Mr. Williamson's been given his walking papers by Carlisle. They find themselves 5 points adrift of safety at the foot of League Two after getting pumped by Swindon last weekend. Williamson, you'll remember, left his position as MK Dons boss to take over in September. He's only won 5 of 25 in all competitions. Though, Clarkie, I saw a report / tweet that said they were considering Steven Gerrard as his replacement. Ye gods.
I mean, yeah, look, if they can get him. I mean, I just can't see Stevie G rocking up at Brunton Park, but you never know, do you? If he's hungry, they need something.
He knows
they?
The level, no one will say about him.
No.
They could train in his back garden, maybe. Do you think that would make it more appetising for him?
Oh, mate, they used to train around the back of the ground. Oh, the pitches were so not good drainage. Puddles everywhere. Carlisle, yeah, I just think they made a bit of a ricket. Not because Mike Williams isn't a good manager. He's clearly a good coach. He had a lovely brand of football at MK. It's just the wrong person at the wrong time for me. You know, bottom end of League Two, it's not really the time to bring in a philosophy coach that's going to change things and get you playing the beautiful game. It's just about results, isn't it? And he didn't get them. Five wins from 25 in charge in all competitions. Just, yeah. And obviously the other thing is that they allowed him to bring in 11 new signings in January and then got rid of him. And those 11 signings were brought in to play his brand of football. What happens now?
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be the alignment, and they've obviously had investment as well. It's clearly a style of football that needs time, I would suggest, Clarkie, especially at the level. So it feels like these are decisions being made on, oh, he's done really well at Gateshead. Oh, he's done well at MK Dons. Got him in the playoffs. Let's go for him without too much joined up thinking. And I saw them in the infancy of him being in charge, and they looked like a team that were just being told all of a sudden, right, you've got a split centre half, you've got to play into midfield, when probably for the previous year or two under Paul Simpson it was a little bit more back to front, and they had good success doing that. So yeah, there's not much joined up thinking going on there, and some of the managers that have been earmarked for the gig as well, I'm not really getting. I'd be astonished if Ian Everett, for one, rocks up at Carlisle's next job, despite, by the sounds of things, them wanting to have a real go at being successful. John Brady's the other one I've seen, who I would suggest was maybe the polar opposite to Mike Williamson in terms of setup. So I'm not entirely sure what's going on there. Goal scoring's been a massive issue. If you look at the statistics under Mike Williamson, I think it's 14 goals in 22 games or something of similar ilk. I had it written down, but I don't have it in front of me now. But I think that's been a big problem. But shame for him, because his standing in the game seemed really high a year or so ago, and all of a sudden it's going to be interesting where he rocks up next.
We shall see.
Hello, listener. It's Matt here. Wouldn't you just know it? As soon as we finished recording the pod, Carlisle United announced that Mark Hughes is going to be their new manager. So ignore all that bit about Steven Gerrard and just assume that Sam and Adrian would have said something like, well, it's a tough gig for him given where they are in the league, but he does know the level. So that will be to Carlisle's advantage. Good luck, Sparky.
All right, we're going to get into some previews of the weekend's games next. And we'll start with Derby County going to Carrow Road, trying to avoid an eighth straight league defeat, something they haven't suffered since 1987. They are second from bottom, 2 points from safety. Norwich, meanwhile, could finish the weekend in the playoff places with a win. We'll start with the away team, though, Sam, because they're really the story here, aren't they? They've only won once on the road all season. That was back in November. Failed to score in five of those recent defeats. Also lost on penalties to Orient in the Cup. You've seen them of late. Are you surprised that Paul Warne's still in situ, and do you think that he can get them out?
I am a little, and I really like Paul Warne. And it, from my perspective, I think he's doing as good as he can be, really. I think they definitely come into the category of a club that have had a poor window. I think the supporters were desperate for a little bit more firepower, certainly more creativity, probably in the wide positions. And they haven't got that. They've got a creative midfielder from Everton, Harrison Armstrong. What he has done or been able to do is patch up that defence, which obviously has lost their two most important cogs in cashing, and to Brighton, I think it was, and Curtis Nelson, obviously, for the season due to injury. So bringing in Matt Clark's a good signing. Nat Phillips, they've got the loanee, and they've brought in Sondre Langas from Viking FK, which I presume is Norway. Matt, is that right?
I'm going to presume that as well, European, yeah.
Expert. So they've got cover there, which I think is really important. Ozo's back as well, who we spoke of a lot early part of the season. The loanee from Crystal Palace, he's missed the majority of the campaign after being really sprightly in the first few weeks. And he's got Salverson, who scored already, and Yates. So he's got two decent front men, but it's probably who are going to supply the ammunition for those guys. And I think the biggest thing about Derby is you don't really know which way they're going to set up. I still think Paul Warne, and some of it will be purposefully before certain fixtures, but I still think that he's chopping and changing. And this isn't a criticism, it's a fact. I think formations, quite often there are three away from home, they can be a four, back four at Pride Park. There's no consistency. There's no... when you look at the lineup, it differs from week to week. So it's very difficult to predict the way they'll go. What they will be is incredibly hardworking. They'll have a huge set piece threat, which they've had throughout the season. 13 they've scored from dead balls. So I'll be fascinated to see how they go. You'd probably go for a narrow home win, especially given that Sargent is back in the reckoning for the Canaries. And yeah, this is... Yeah, turning into, it's not must win for Derby, but they probably need a performance of sorts to just quieten down the inevitable criticism.
It won't be easy though, Clarkie. Against the Norwich team, we've responded really well to that cup drubbing by Brighton and the back-to-back defeats against Sheffield and Leeds. Two wins from two since then. Promoted or relegated in four of the last six seasons. Are they going to make it five from seven?
Well, they're not getting relegated. They could get promoted. They're in with the shout. They score goals, don't they? They'll have to improve defensively, I think, Norwich, to stand any chance. And if truth be told, I think they're among the best of the rest outside of that top four, Norwich City. They could sneak in, but I wouldn't see them progressing to the Premier League. They're not ready for that. They're the second top scorers in the league, though. Only 2 points off the playoffs right now. And since mid-December, they've lost four games. And all of them have come against the top four. The rest of the games that they've played in that period, they've won five, drawn one and lost none. So they're beating the teams that are outside the top four, but falling short against the very best. It should be a good game, actually, because Norwich matches at Carrow Road featured loads of goals. 3.93 a game, highest in the Championship. They've only got one clean sheet in 14 home games, Norwich, as well. So Derby have got a chance of certainly scoring, but Norwich are banging them in for fun at home. Obviously, the 5-1 against Swansea helped, 6-1 against Plymouth as well, but yeah, scored 36. They've scored 36 goals at home, right? That's one more than Burnley and Sheffield United combined. There you go. Sheffield United and Burnley could be in the Premier League next season. At home, their combined tally isn't as good as Norwich's. So, you know, they've got that threat. Sargent's great, we know that. But I've got to say, Marcondes has really impressed me. I think he's been really good, creating loads of chances. Cernat just looks a good option. They've brought in Lewis Dobbin as well, I think from Aston Villa. He scored a really good goal against Swansea winger, and in general that they've got a lot of really good young players, haven't they? The left back's 19, signed from Notts County. They've brought in McConville from Brighton, Northern Irish international. He's only 19. Centre back Jacob Wright's coming from Man City. I think he's a defensive midfielder, an alternative to Kenny McLean potentially. Technically really good, you know, looking to make an impression on loan. So yeah, they're turning to youth. Just a quick word on Callum Doyle. I know we've mentioned him earlier in the season, but yeah, those through balls, he just keeps playing. Brilliant through balls from centre half, Callum Doyle. Absolutely outstanding this season. He's got 6 assists and he's a big part of what Norwich do. I think Norwich win this and they'll score 2 or 3 goals at least.
All right, let's hope so. Earlier on Saturday, Sunderland
professional. Yeah.
Such glee saying that they're on the cusp of 9 straight defeats or whatever he said in the intro. Never seen him so happy.
Listen, I'm just pleased that Southampton are creeping ever closer towards the magical 12-point mark. That's all I really need from the rest of this season. Elsewhere on Saturday, 12:30 kickoff, Sunderland welcoming Watford to the Stadium of Light. Whether Tom Cleverley is going to be stepping off the Ellison's coach is another matter, though, Clarkey. Lost 7 of 9, all this noise around them in a very Watford kind of way. Not exactly the ideal working environment for a young manager.
No, there are a lot of whispers in football at the moment that he's going. They haven't pulled the rug from beneath his feet yet, but I've heard a couple of rumours that it's happening, so let's see. I think it would be really harsh, personally. I think the fans are more against the ownership than Tom Cleverley, although obviously, you know, it's not going very well results wise. I think he will no doubt be regretting the decision to let Mileta Rajovic go on loan to Bromby. I remember there was a big thing made of it at the time. He scored goals last season, but he didn't fancy him, and he allowed him to leave, and he said, "That's my call. It's on me." Well, you know, Watford have been very reliant on Vakoum Bayo, who I don't think is a brilliant player, if I'm honest. He can score goals, but he's a bit erratic. And of course, he's now suspended for 3 games. So who's going to play up front for Watford? They don't really have anyone. I think they've got a few other injuries. I think Vata's injured. Barr is injured. They might have to put Dumbia up front. He's only 18. Yeah, they've left themselves too short up front. Got loads of midfielders, loads of sort of playmakers, but maybe not quite enough steel in that team. And now that the going's getting a bit tough, some of those flair players that were looking $1 million in August and September when the pitch, well, not that the pitches are that bad, but when the weather was lovely, when it all was a bit nicey-nicey, they're not delivering at the moment. Yeah, it's they've maybe got some players that are a bit soft by Championship standards. So this is the kind of fixture they will not really want at this point, certainly, because Sunderland away is tough. And I'll be honest, given Watford's away record, given the fact they've got very few attacking options, I can't see them winning this game.
If they need goals, maybe they turn to an 18-year-old who's yet to make his debut for them. Christian Shevchenko is on their books. Yes, he is the son of Andre, so why not give him?
Oh, okay.
They've had Pochettino Jr.
They did.
I think Wise's son as well was there, was he not?
Just need a Simeone to rock up. There's about 4 of them, apparently, isn't there?
One of the Zidans, the goalkeepers.
Just a quick one. Imran Loser is playing very well, and the defenders, actually, Pollock, who we've praised before, I think he's still doing very well. He's got a new partner at the back at the moment, and I think that they're doing okay. But yeah, this is going to be a tough test.
That was a bit of a weird one. Porteous going to Preston on loan, because he's, well, certainly the start of the season, he was playing more or less every week as part of the back three. So I didn't see that coming. Preston getting Lewis Gibson from Argyle as well. So they picked up 2 lads, I would suggest, similar age, mid-20s, both good championship players. So maybe that's, Preston just reshaping the squad ahead of next season as well.
Never mind the Preston. What about the Black Cats, Sam? This is quite the contrasting moods of these two camps. Love that superb Ryan Giles own goal to win the derby on Monday night. They got Wilson Isidori's turned his loan into a permanent move. Good vibes all around, despite the loss of Mike Dodds.
I feel like I've not really been on the Sunderland train, really. I need to get on the march, because I think this is a pivotal few weeks for them. 3 of the next 4 at home against Watford this weekend, Luton and Hull City. Leeds away, sandwiched in between that. So that game could be colossal. They're 3 points behind automatic positions at the moment. 58 points, I think Burnley's 61. So they've got a hell of an opportunity, especially what we've already said on today's podcast with Jadon Dans coming in, who I think is exactly the type of signing that the Sunderland fans were craving. And this is before probably Isidore went on his recent run or certainly, you know, missed the penalties. But to see him do what he did at Middlesbrough the other day, and in terms of his performance level, everyone will be really infused. I think that they can stay, you know, with the three teams above them currently. And mouthwatering, I think, massive job for Dan Neil at the moment to be a bit of a protector, even though he got the goal the other day. Bellingham, Rigg, Roberts, Lefay in front of that, and a striker, Isidore or Dans. I mean, that's potentially, you know, the most exciting front line in the division for the rest of the season. So we'll see how they shape up. He's obviously gone with Maenda and Isidore at times this season, so I think it is an option, but that will be obviously having to take out one of those aforementioned brilliant creative midfield players. So I can't see that happening. I think Dans will probably have to wait in the wings. And then you got Tommy Watson, who had that little brief spell where he was flying, coming back to fitness, and Romain Mundell as well. So all the stars are kind of aligning for them. And I agree with Clarkey, this should be a home win. However, Watford have beaten Sunderland twice in recent times, twice at Vicarage Road, however, so won't be overawed. But given that they're lacking in numbers and the form just doesn't add up in comparison. One defeat in 12 for Sunderland. Home win and tick it off. And if they can beat Luton next time out at the Stadium of Light, everyone will be tuning into that Leeds game, because that would give Sunderland an incredible opportunity if they can probably remain unbeaten in that one and take, 7 points from the next three, possibly 10 from the next four. They're in it. They're in it, and I think they're probably in it for the long haul now.
Yeah, looking good for Sunderland. In League One, Stockport and Barnsley meet. Stockport looking to win five in a row. Barnsley aiming for a first win in five. Adrian, is this run too late for County to threaten the top two? Currently 9 points off it.
I wouldn't see them challenging the top two, but they can definitely get into the playoffs because they've got a great defensive record. Their keeper is the least busiest in the division, only 42 saves. Barnsley, by the way, who aren't too far away from Stockport, their keeper's had to make 85 saves. So that tells you the difference in terms of the way they play, how compact they are. I think Ethan Pye, someone that deserves a bit of praise, he's sent half, only 21. He's been there a while, had a couple of loans in non-league, but I was looking at some of the data and, you know, he's got the most clearances, the most interceptions, most tackles won, most blocks, etc. So he's having a great season. Fraser Horsfall next to him, reliable. Lewis Bate, who you'll know, is having a good season as that sort of holding midfielder as well. So they're just really solid. Stockport County. And then the question is, can they score enough goals? They've probably just left a few on the table, maybe. They've not been super clinical. I noticed in terms of XG, they've got the second best in the division, Stockport County, but Wickham have scored 11 more goals. They're the team with near identical expected goals, yet Wickham have sort of had individuals that have been able to produce those moments of magic that have been a bit more clinical than Stockport, who've struggled a little bit to score, particularly away from home. But, you know, Wootton's hard working, isn't he? Up at the top end at Alloath. Oh, I don't know how I've butchered his name there, but you know the guy. He plays on the left. He's a quickie. Will Collar's always a good player that can break into the box and score. So, you know, they've got good individuals. But really, the key to Stockport's success is clean sheets. It's keeping the opposition at bay. And they're just very, very well organised. So we'll see how they go. Yeah, Cosgrove's just gone to Stockport on loan from Barnsley, so can't play in this game, but he'll try and add to their firepower between now and the end of the season. But yeah, look, I think Stockport will look to grind out a narrow win here.
The Cosgrove thing interests me, Sam. Mm. Obviously, he was in great form in the playoffs, but this season he scored one goal from 8 starts, 11 subs in the league. So Barnsley loan him out. Okay, sort of understandable. They replace him with Clement Rodriguez from SC Bastia on loan with an option to make it permanent. He scored 3 goals in 17 in Ligue 2 and none since October. What's the thinking there?
Stick them in the category of underwhelming transfer window and a bit of confusion amongst the Barnsley fans, I think. And I'm surprising myself even saying that, because I think if we replayed a podcast from about 6 weeks ago, I was waxing lyrical about Daryl Clark's side, having seen them against Rotherham, brush Rotherham aside, love the midfield. At the time, it was Phillips, who I've always enjoyed, Adam Phillips, Connell, really good footballer, and John Russell. That was the trio who wowed me on the night. Loads of firepower, maybe not people getting a plethora of goals, but good options for Daryl Clark. And obviously that's diminished with this move and not really replacing, I don't think, what is probably a lack of a clinical edge. I think more alarming is they've only had five clean sheets, concede too many goals. I think that's the bigger issue here, because they can, you know, we've seen examples of teams that have spread goals around the side and been really successful with it. But yeah, Clement Rodriguez coming in from Bastia. I did used to holiday in Corsica when I was a nipper with the family. So I think Bastia are one of the more vociferous teams in playing in the French divisions, if I can get away with softening it with that. I think they've got quite a volatile support. So I'll be interested to see how he gets on coming into English football, 24 years of age. Barnsley, they're a bit conflicted because they are brilliant on the road, as they have been for the last few seasons, and woeful at Oakwell. They've won double the amount of games on the road. However, they've lost the last couple. So I think I'd probably expect a narrow Stockport win, given that, they're a little bit in a rut at the moment, results-wise, and I think in terms of the supporters, a little bit confused.
All right, I'm predicting a draw because the last three games between them have all been, and four of the last five. In League Two, Notts County are flying, appropriately enough, for Magpies. where was I? Oh, yeah, Morecambe. They're the opposition at Meadow Lane. Shrimps and Magpies in a meadow together. You simply wouldn't see this anywhere else. Notts, four wins from five, one defeat in nine. It's always nice to have a Traore in there, Sam, and they've signed my Traore from Fredrikstad, who I can confirm are a Norwegian club. What do you reckon? Are they going to be a League One outfit this time next year?
And they got a great chance. Yeah. I think, Clarkey mentioned the striker, Jatta, and they've got McGoldrick as well. 13 apiece, those two. McGoldrick, the man in form at the moment. He's got 37 years of age. I think I was chatting about him the other day. I'm racking my brain to think of someone of that Aju is still plundering the amount of goals that he is. Classy player as well. Brilliant chip that he scored the other day. So I think this will be a pretty obvious pattern. I think Notts County will have all the ball. I think Morecambe can frustrate. They frustrated Notts County in the game earlier in the season, 1-1 up there in the northwest. So we'll see what goes here. But yeah, brought in another striker, obviously. Dan Crowley was the big kind of conversation the last few weeks, allowing him to leave, going to MK Dons, replaced with, they brought in a winger, Charlie Whittaker from Everton, who obviously could play a part of that front three that they go with. They've brought in, there's another loanee that's returned from Sunderland, a defender, Zach Johnson. So they've strengthened again. They're full of goals, so I expect this to be a tough afternoon for Morecambe. Don't expect them to get anything here. However, we all predicted them to lose against Fleetwood, or certainly to struggle against Fleetwood, and they thumped them in that derby last time out.
Still can't get away from the malaise around the club, Clarkey, can you? Still waiting for their takeover to go through. Jason Whittingham, the very unpopular current owner, was asked by BBC Radio Lancashire how much he hoped that by the end of February he would no longer own the club. He said, "With every fibre in my body, I can't wait to get out of Morecambe in a positive way. I no longer want to be the owner of the club." The feeling is more than mutual from supporters.
Yeah, I saw that myself. I mean, that's a strong quote, isn't it? Yeah, they need change. I mean, luckily, the embargo that they're under was sort of just ended towards the end of the window. So they were able to bring in a few bodies they really needed to. I think Callum Cook came in. I think he's a good addition in midfield. And Andy Dallas came in as a sort of forward option. He got two goals in the game before last, so against Fleetwood. So, yeah, that's what they need. They need more goals. I mean, I think nine from open play all season for Morecambe. It's shocking, really. Set pieces represent just under half of all their goals. So they need to find a little bit more quality in open play to hurt opponents. I give them pretty much no chance here, even though they're getting better. Wait for this number. They've played 8 games against teams in the top 13 that are away from home. Okay, so the best teams in the division away from home. They've played 8 games. They've lost all 8, and they've scored none in any of those games. So, you know, recent form will tell you that this is the sort of game they lose to nil. 6 of those have been 1-0 losses, though, so they can keep it quite tight. And overall, against top half teams, they've lost 12 of 14, picked up 2 points from a possible 42 against top half teams. But I do feel that they're getting a little bit better. They've got Tranmere in their sights, and they're starting to score more goals. So I think the trajectory is upwards, but this is probably the kind of fixture that they could do without. That said, if they could go to Meadow Lane and nick something, that might give them the confidence boost they need. So we'll see. But I'm not writing off Morecambe. I think that they could yet escape.
And we'll have to wait and see about that. Nearly done for today. We'll rattle through our predictions, though. Last week, myself and Adrian got 1 point. Sam got 0. So Adrian and I both predicted Blackburn to beat Preston. I was what proved to be a meaningless stoppage time goal away from getting that perfectly right and getting 3 points, which I desperately needed as well. So that was frustrating. But we were all wrong about Leighton Orient against Stockport and Morecambe against Fleetwood. So we've made up a little bit of ground there, Clarkie, but he's still too far away for my liking.
Yeah, he's way too far away. So he's on 44. He's on 43. I'm on 33. You're on 27. Look, you know, baby steps. We this could be our week.
There's zero jeopardy in this, is there?
Well, let's see. Because we're going for recession. We're going for an FA Cup special this week. So let's see if we can make up some points. And I've got something to throw in the mix, which might put some cats amongst pigeons.
Is my answer.
Okay, all right. I was going to ask if you could get a bonus point for predicting a result to happen in extra time. But I'm happy for that not to be the case. I'll just take the kudos for it. And first up, we're going for Leighton Orient against Manchester City. Fascinating game. This one, I think.
You're the boss, Matt. Mate, you know, this is your, you know, your feature. You don't be bullied into things by Sam Parkin over there. You know, he used to bully centre halves. Don't let him do it to you.
It would take the gloss off any comeback, wouldn't it, if you were to salvage things from here because you changed the rules mid-season.
Not for me. Leighton Orient, Man City. Sam, what's going to happen?
City are going to win. They're not going to win as convincingly as they beat Salford. Let's go for Orient to get 1, City to get 3.
Well, that's interesting because I've gone 1-4 for this one. What about you, Adrian?
Oh, how annoying. I went 1-4. Right, I'll go for 0-4. Leighton Orient 0, Man City 4.
Sorry, Orient. I was amused by Richie Wellens after the defeat against Stockport saying, "I'm not going to moan about it because I'm not Ange Postecoglou." It was a nice little dig for which he later apologised.
I would presume he's a staunch red in the city of Manchester. That's just a guess.
A little bit of extra motivation.
Maybe there. Did he start there? I think he did, didn't he?
His son certainly played there, for a while before.
Yeah, so nice game for him.
This one, to paraphrase Sam, stinks of an upset to me. It is Coventry against Ipswich. What you got, Adrian?
2-1 to the Sky Blues.
Okay, I think this might be a common theme here. Sam, how about you?
They didn't turn up for 45 minutes last night, did they? Are they holding a little bit back? Brent Lampard with all that FA Cup history. 2-1 Ipswich.
Just 2-1.
I've gone 2-0 Cov there. I reckon it'll be 11 changes for Ipswich.
Hang on. How can he do that?
What?
He just copied me.
No, Ipswich.
No, he said 2-1 Ipswich.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I sucked you into the upset. And then I've...
Sorry, mate. I should listen better.
And you can do that, can't you? I can do what I like.
Yeah,
you can
absolutely.
Do what you
There's
like.
No rules.
Yeah.
Right, wow. So this is the one that I was going to go rogue on. Birmingham-Newcastle's the final game. I think Newcastle will win 2-1 after extra time. I'm going to be that specific about it. What do you think, Adrian?
Nah, it'll be a tight game. Good atmosphere. Bit of aggro. But Newcastle will nick it. They'll nick an ugly 1-0 win at St Andrews. That's how I see this one.
Okay, 0-1. What do you reckon, Sam?
What the hell of it? Wholesale changes. Everyone's still a little bit half cut after that comfortable absolute stroll against Arsenal in the
all
week.
All right, all right.
1-0, Birmingham City, the magic of the cup.
Wow,
all
okay.
Dollars.
That would be a big shock. We shall see. We'll let you know how we get on with that next week. Remember, our partners Quinbet have a new offer for you. You can now get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35, minimum three bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account is up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for more information on responsible gambling. A very quick tweet of the week before we go. It comes from Joshua Guilavogwe. Apologies to him if I have spelt pronounced his name wrong. I hadn't actually heard of him until I found this tweet. Turns out he plays for Leeds, and this comes after the 7-0 against Cardiff. He said, "Our collective strength was not born today. It's been built over many months of hard work and dedication. I feel privileged to be part of this team. I have enough experience now to know that what we are experiencing is special. Let's keep going. We'll get the reward that we deserve." Slight suspicion, Sam, that he's put into ChatGPT. Give me a wordy thing about a win in a football match. But yeah, it's a diversion from the norm, at least.
Nice pictures, nice array of shots after the 7-0. It just made me think of David Brent when he's reading the quotes. That's all I could think as soon as he started. You reading these? Am I what? I'll put it down there if it's obvious.
I don't know. What do you think, Clarky? Has he written this? Somebody in the comments has said, "I really hope that a PR team hasn't put this out."
No, well, he's 34, isn't he? And he's French. I think he's a French international. You know, he's been around the block. He's maybe just a deep thinker. He's probably into it. Like, he's taken his badges. He's a future gaffer, potentially. And yeah, I don't know. He's not really having much of an impact off the pitch. So he's just, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. It's just so unusual, isn't it? Like, you wouldn't expect many footballers to come out with that kind of stuff. A bit deep for my taste. But yeah, I'm not going to knock him. He's his own man.
Victorious is a good reply. You didn't read that one, Matt, did you? You're
no,
really
tell
making
me.
An impact on the squad, although you don't play much. Your beautiful energy is seen through our players' confidence. Lovely. You summed it up perfectly.
Very nice.
That's what I was like, sat on the bench for the last 5 years of my career. Huge influence.
But Royston Sanders says, "I'm a huge fan of yours due to how you love Leeds and your wonderful posts." So, you know, there are people out there.
More than 100,000 followers. Puts
that are loving this.
All of us three to shade.
Nigel Adkins of Yorkshire currently.
Yeah, and he's obviously a team man because he's retweeted a lot of praise for Ilan Meslier over the last couple of days. So yeah, good on him. He's got a foundation as well. But yeah, weird tweet, that one. We should be back with another show same time next week. Enjoy the football if you're at a game. For now though, it's goodbye.